continue in Ephesians, and we're in chapter 6, verses 5 through 24, but we're going to break those down a little bit. So first we're going to read Ephesians 6, 5 through 9. It says, "Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as the bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or free. Masters, do the same to them, and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him." So let's break that down just a little bit. And when it begins, it addresses bondservants. And a bondservant is actually one who is bound to something or bound to one that they serve. And Paul is speaking here to the church at Ephesus still, and to all Christians now. So this is, bondservants mean people who know the Lord, and they're bound to him and they're serving him. And it says to obey your earthly masters, whoever is our authority. And those are different people in our lives. It could be our boss or our husband, our public officials, etc. You could go on naming people who have authority over us, like law officers, and you can just keep going. And you are to obey with fear and trembling. And that doesn't mean shaking in your boots or trembling with the kind of fear that you might think. But it's what it means is to realize how the gravity of the situation is, how important it is to obey and with a sincere heart. And that's very important too, that we have to have a sincere heart and a desire to serve as you would Christ. So we are to obey those earthly masters as if we were obeying Christ. And that's who, when we serve, he is our master. He is the only master. So that's who we should be obeying for everything, in our workplace or whatever. And then, and it's not to please the people that we work for, even though they might be pleased by what we're doing, but it's to please Christ. And so every morning we should get up and be ready. Christ, whatever you have for me today, that's what I want to do. And I want to do it because I desire to serve you. And always work as if you are working for the Lord. The most important phrase, I think, in this scripture that we read was saying, where it says, doing the will of God from your heart. You have to have the desire. We can't just say, oh, I'm going to do God's will. Well, how do you know what God's will is if you're not connected to him? You have to have communication with God. You have to have that relationship with him to do the will of God. And we are to know that any good we do, and this is scripture, you will receive back from the Lord. We should serve with a good will for the Lord. Serve for him, not for us, not for our bosses, not for anybody. Just service to the Lord, whether I'm serving my husband, whether you're serving your wife, or your boss at work, or your children. We all should be doing that for the Lord. Do not threaten your workers, bosses, and masters. Know that he, which is God, who is both their master and yours, is in heaven. God is the ultimate master, authority figure for all. There is no partiality with him. He is the Lord of all. And as we read, or as we're going to read through verses 10 through 20, let's ask ourselves these questions. And I'm going to ask the questions first so you can be thinking about them as we read through the verses. Number one, how do we put God's plan for us in our daily lives? So we could get up and we can say, okay, I'm going to serve the Lord today, but how are you going to do that? You got to have a little bit of instruction of what He wants you to do, and the only place you can find that is in His Word. How can we be stronger for the Lord? So those are two questions to ask ourselves as we read verses 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And Paul says, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So Paul's telling us here how we can be ready to serve the Lord. And in verses 11 through 13, he's talking about the armor. And we know what armor is. It's a protection or a cover that will not let foreign objects in. We should stand firm by being fully armed. And we can do this. You might ask, what is the armor of God? So we're going to go through those real quick. The belt of truth. We should put on our belt of truth every day. We need the truth in and around us that comes from God's Word. And the next is the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness means to be free of guilt or sin. So we need to put that breastplate on. We need to protect our hearts. That's the part that goes over our hearts. So we need to protect our hearts and be righteous, be free of sin and guilt. We need to ask the Lord to forgive us. And the next is the shoes. So you will be always ready to go and share the gospel of truth. So you have to have those shoes on so you're ready to go. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. And we know what a shield is, something you put in front of you so you can plow through a crowd or so you can fight off weapons coming at you. But with God as our shield, if we put God in front of us always, before everything, we allow Him to fight off the darts and the daggers that Satan throws at us. So remember that the shield of faith is God. We should put on our helmets of salvation, and we all know what helmets protect. That protects our heads, which carry our thoughts and the things that we need to learn Scripture. Our memory. So put that helmet of salvation on. The next one is to take with us the sword of the Spirit. And we know the sword of the Spirit is God's Word, so that we are equipped and ready to share. And the only way that we can take God's Word with us everywhere, the sword of the Spirit everywhere, is to have a little bit of that in us. Because we may not always have our Bible in our hand or in our purse or in our car. But if we learn and some of those scriptures and keep those in our heart and in our minds, then we have that. We're equipped and ready to share. And in verse 18, it says, to pray at all times in the Spirit with all your prayers and supplications, to ask humbly and earnestly, not just a prayer to check off your list that I've prayed today. We need to come to the Lord humbly and earnestly. Keep alert with perseverance. Push through. pray for the saints. And we should pray for all of our Christian friends around us, and even the ones that are that we really don't call friends because we don't know them. Pray for all the saints. And then Paul says in verse 19, to pray for the saints, but not just the saints. He's saying, also pray for me so that I'll be bold, that the words will come out of my mouth when I open it, and they'll be bold. And he has actually given us a prayer request here, and he said that the words would be given to him when he opens his mouth boldly to proclaim the gospel. Let's pray this same prayer for ourselves, that when we open our mouths, that the right words come out, the words that God has for the person that we're talking to hear. And in verse 20, Paul tells us that even though he is in chains, he's still an ambassador for God, and he has the desire to declare the gospel boldly. So you remember that Ephesians is a letter that he wrote to the church. He is bound in chains in prison, and so he believes thoroughly that he is an ambassador for God, so he can't let those chains keep him from doing God's work. So in closing, Paul closes his letter to the church of Ephesians, to the church at Ephesus, with these words. And so let's read verses 21 through 24. So that you also may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. So Paul has sent Tychicus with this letter to give to the church there. And so Tychicus is going to update the church on how Paul is doing and how the ministry is going. And then verse 22 says, I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that we may encourage your hearts. So we need to be encouraging hearts, just like Paul did all the way from prison. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. Question to ponder for the week is, do you love the Lord Jesus with incorruptible love?